United Schools Project by John Messina at United High School on April 1st, 1981 at 1:30 p.m.
Mr. Mihal, would you please
give me a short background on yourself, where you were born, where you went to high school, a little bit about your parents and some other family members?
Well, if I could go back again to my dad, at the age of 14, he came to Pennsylvania from Czechoslovakia. And later on, he went to Morgantown, West Virginia, and got a job as a young boy in a glass factory in Morgantown, West Virginia. My mother was born and reared in Trogger, Pennsylvania, just north, I believe, west north of Pittsburgh. And somehow, some way, she and her family migrated to Morgantown. She met my dad. They were married. I had five sons, lived in and around the Morgantown area until somewhere in the neighborhood, I guess, of 1950 or 60. At that time, the state of West Virginia was planning to put in two main highways, two expressways, and they started to do the surveying, and then a little later my dad retired, and then shortly after he retired passed away, and they bought my mother's house for a couple of dollars, tore the house down along with 60 some other houses in the neighborhood, and put an interchange right where my home place was. And so now there is nothing left to my home place, but I can go back there, and I have several times, and I see a clover leaf on a superhighway going from Erie, PA to Charleston, West Virginia, and from Hagerstown, Maryland over to 79 east-west expressway. As far as my schooling is concerned, then I went to Morgantown High School. I graduated with a class of 43. I went to the service in 1943, U.S. Navy, went to Great Lakes, went to California, spent about 3 or 4 months on a destroyer. The war was declared over. They discharged me. I went back to Morgantown, enrolled at WVU in 1946, spent 4 years there, and upon graduation I went over to Garrett County, Maryland, and got a job in a small high school as a social studies teacher. 2 years later, the school district was consolidating with two other districts to build a larger high school. So they consolidated three high schools, and I was very fortunate as a classroom teacher of 2 years to get a job as assistant principal in the high school. Spent a couple of years as high school assistant principal in the high school, and was offered a position as a elementary principal then in the county seat of Oakland, Maryland. And in the meantime then, I'd been going back for my master's and my principal certificate, and so I was qualified for the job and had this experience and was appointed principal of the elementary school. Spent about a year and a half there, and the high school principal decided to go back to Baltimore, and I was appointed principal of the high school then, where I was assistant principal, and spent 4 years as principal of the high school. We had in the neighborhood of 900 or 1,000 students. It varied, and I can't remember the exact number. We had grades 7 through 12 in this particular school. Following that, I was going to make a fortune. So I was told that I was going to make a fortune if I would get out of education and get into World Book Encyclopedia selling, which I did for 2 years, and I did make, if you have to be truthful, I made twice as much money world booking that I did as principal of the high school, but somehow, some way, world booking wasn't for me, and so I got out of world booking and decided to get back into education, and so I came over to Medina and Medina, Ohio, and got a job as a math teacher in a junior high school, and the next year I was appointed as math teacher half day and audiovisual director for the school for the other half day. And 5 years later, the principal of the school decided to become the high school principal, and the high school principal decided to become superintendent, I believe, over in western Ohio. So I was offered a job as principal of the junior high, and I took it. I was principal then for about 5 or 6 years, and the business manager's position opened up in the school district, Medina City, and I applied, and I was appointed to business manager. I had that position for about 2 years, and the assistant superintendent's position opened up, and I applied for that, and so I was transferred from business manager to assistant superintendent. Had that position for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I heard about the vacancy here at United, and I applied, and they appointed me as superintendent in 1978, and next month, 2 months from now, I'll be retiring after spending 29 years in education at the age of, ripe old age of 56.
Well, Mr. Newholm, could you just tell me in a nutshell, or how would you describe, again, responsibilities of your position as superintendent here at United?
I'm not sure I know what you mean, John. Do you mean describe the position, the jobs, or describe the effect that it has, or my opinion of the jobs that have to be done?
Okay, let's reward it then. Let's say that what do you think are the most important responsibilities of superintendent?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that not only at United, but I think in any school district, the superintendent has to be able to see the total district. He has to have this, what I call a total bird's eye view of the district. He has to be able to see what's happening on a day-to-day basis. He has to be able to know what's happening in buildings and grounds, what's happening in transportation, what's happening in the curriculum, what's happening in the classrooms, what is the thinking of the parents? Are they supporting schools? What do they want to know about the schools? How can parents help? And then I think the superintendent must be on top of the finances. Because you and I know, John, that if you don't have money, you're not going to be able to run your schools. And so somewhere along the line, again, you have to be able to think in terms of the cost of the program, and you've got to look at the income, and then you've got to plan your program so that you are within the bounds of the income. You can't overspend, in other words.
Are you saying then that maybe the number one problem that you may face as a superintendent is making sure that the school is financially set?
Well, I'm not going to say it's number one, because, you know, if you talk about what I just mentioned, being able to see the total picture, and I'm sure there are times when I was a teacher, and when I was a principal, when I was assistant superintendent, I felt that maybe our leadership didn't see all of the aspects of the program, the total district, and maybe we had some problems as a result. And so I'm saying that the superintendent must be able to see the total picture, comprehend, And then I don't know if there's any one particular thing that you would say would be the number one, because there's so many number ones. For example, finances, without finances, and if you don't have money, you can't operate your schools. But if you're not communicating with your staff and with your public, you can have all the money you want, and you're not going to have an effective program. And if you have all kind of activities going on, but you don't know what's going on in the classrooms, or you're not setting aside time, and you're not emphasizing the classroom as the hub of the curriculum and the heart of the schools, if you're not emphasizing this, then you can have all the money you want to, and you can communicate all you want to, you still don't have a good school district. And so I can just go on and on and on that I think all of the areas are important. But I think somehow, some way, and today more than any, we were talking about money, and so money is getting a lot of the emphasis. But a school district with all the money, and if they're not communicating, if they don't know what's going on in the program, they still don't have a good school district. So all of these areas are important, and the superintendent must be alert to all of these areas.
So then you consider these probably the greatest problems that you had to adjust to coming into the United District?
Well,
or is there any particular one that you had a problem with?
Well, if you're going to say adjust, I'm going to say this, John, and I don't mean to sit here and talk braggatively make any kind of bold statements. But if you go back again to the experiences that I related to you from 1943, in fact, I could even go beyond that, because when I was in school, in junior high, I sold newspapers. I sold programs and refreshments at West Virginia University football games. I was a pin setter in a bowling alley. I worked in a cafeteria at a local plant, DuPont plant. I worked on a Coca-Cola truck as a helper to the driver. I was a salesman for an office supply company. I was a salesman for a wholesale grocery distributor. I had a rich background in terms of experiences before I even started into college. And then I was a teacher. I was a elementary principal, a junior high principal, a senior high principal. I was a business manager. I was an audiovisual director. I had the experiences of an assistant superintendent. And I think I was well aware of all of the problems that I'm faced with or was faced with on day one. All I wanted was an opportunity to be able to do them. And so...
So, but were there any particular ones that you saw coming into the United District? Was there any particular problems, you know, other than something different that you hadn't seen in Marion County?
No, I can't say. I would say this, and my experience now, I guess, goes back to this school district, Medina City School District, and the Garrett County School District, and because that was a county system, although I was in four different buildings there. But I think education problems are repeated in district after district. You just have new names of new people. But as far as saying that there was some kind of problem here at United that was unique to United, I didn't see anything, and I haven't to this day found anything that would be unique at United that we didn't have the kind of same kind of problems in Medina and in Garrett County, Maryland. And in talking with other superintendents and talking with other principals, and when I was a teacher, and by the way, I also was president of the County Teachers Association. So I've had all kinds of experiences in education, John, and I believe that the problems are, and they have over the years, been somewhat the same, just with different names. Maybe today our problems are a little different. And when I say different, they're the same problems in all school districts, but they're different in that today we have to negotiate, and we have to get out a job description, and we have to get out a policy on everything we do. We seem to be able to, or we don't seem to be able to function without a rule, a regulation, a policy, a job description. And years ago, I did all these things without.
You're saying that there's more law now interpreted in the, you know, in schools than there were?
Yes. I don't know if you want to use the word accountability or trying to pinpoint where the problems are, but I don't know whether these all of these rules and regulations and policies and job descriptions have eliminated the problems.
They probably created one in particular that lawsuits probably more now coming up, you know, than maybe they were in the past. They find little things, you know, wrong with the type of, you know, law. You haven't handled it right, or you didn't go through the right procedure with it. Spiehal, when you came here 3 years ago, was there any particular type of curriculum that you were looking for at United? And did you do anything to promote the curriculum at United?
Well, I would say one of the first things that I did, John, was really, I did this before I was even employed. Because in talking with the county superintendent, I wanted to make sure that the county office was the builder of the curriculum or the courses of study at United. Because I know that when you have an independent school district like an exempted village or a city district, that somebody in that district must be responsible for curriculum. But when you get into a local situation, you've got to have the county office to be the builder of the curriculum, be responsible for the courses of study, be responsible for the curriculum. And I made inquiry into this before I was ever employed, because I knew we didn't have an assistant superintendent in charge of curriculum. And I said that the reason that schools exist is for the curriculum or the course of study. We can do all these things about finances, about communication, about football, basketball, track, drama. We can talk about having suppers and PTOs and everything. We can get ourselves so busy doing so many things, but all of that has to be pointed toward the classroom or the curriculum, or none of it is worth anything. So I was concerned about the curriculum and started to talk about course of study, talking about curriculum from the day that I arrived here on the scene. In fact, one of the first individuals I talked to was Helen Conrad, who was the elementary supervisor in charge of reading. And one of the first people that I had to talk to our staff members was Helen Conrad about reading. And so we started out there. And then with the three principals that we had, we started to talk about courses of study. We started to talk about curriculum. What are we doing as far as classroom programs are concerned? Yes, John, I was concerned about that from the very first day.
Mr. Fair, who takes care of our audiovisual aids, is going to bring in a course of study next year with computers. Did you have a foresight, and did you have an input, okay, for this type of study here at United?
Yes, shortly after I arrived on the scene, and I knew that Mr. Fair and Mr. Marty were interested in computers, and we started to talk about computers and what could we do here at United in terms of getting a course started or making computers known to our boys and girls. Now, we said that we did not feel that we wanted to put in a computer course that was going to polish off computer experts. But what we thought we should do, because we are a comprehensive high school and because we are limited in terms of number of personnel that we have and the finances, that we were going to and we should do something as far as introducing the students to computers. So I would say yes, way in the back, somewhere between day one and today, that Mr. Fair and I, we talked about computers and what we could do here at United.
As you're about to leave, Mr. Muon, United Local Schools, how do you feel that you are leaving the districts, the district? What kind of shape are we in?
Well, I would hope, John, that we're in better shape today than we were 3 years ago.
That may be a loaded question, but I don't mean it to be that way. I'm just saying you've been in it, and you probably know and foresee maybe some of the problems that are going to be heading in the future. Not, for instance, that you may have been the cause of it, but it's leading that way in education.
Well, John, I can go back again to 3 years ago, and I made a statement to the staff. I think I did made this statement to the staff, that I wasn't concerned about making any changes in the district for change's sake. I wasn't interested in making any changes because I thought they ought to do it my way. And I said that the only changes that I would make would be changes that somebody would come to me and say, Mr. Muhaw, I think we ought to look at this area or this program, and I think something ought to be done about it. Then I would look into it, and if I felt there was change was necessary, we would change it. And I also told them that I would begin to look and listen and see if I could see if there is something that needs to be changed or some alterations made to the present program. Now, I know you haven't been here from day one, but I was just thinking the other day, and we've made a whale of a lot of changes in the last 3 years.
What?
And I can assure you that I did not make those changes because I wanted to make them personally, but we had staff input, administration input, we had board input, we had parent input, we had everybody in the district practically, including parents, talking about, well, why don't we do something about this? Or why don't we do something about this? When are we going to change this? How long do we have to put up with this? And so we've made an awful lot of changes, John.
Well, then of the changes, can you pinpoint maybe one that sticks out in your mind that helped United grow in the last 3 years?
Well, I would say right offhand, John, that when we changed the concept of junior high and senior high, what we did was to eliminate one principal, and we made one principal now responsible for grade 7 through 12 and gave him an assistant. I have to watch how I use that word. It's not him, it's a her. At the time we didn't know it was going to be a her. But we made that change because we felt that we had two principals who had to do the very same thing with very small schools. And they were spending more of their time in some areas that maybe were not related to the classroom and to personnel, namely the staff. And somehow, some way, we felt that if we had one principal and one assistant, that we could assign the daily routine, the chores, to the assistant, which must be done, and they have to be done businesslike and professionally, to relieve the principal for the responsibility of the classroom and the curriculum and working with personnel. And so I go back again to 3 years ago when I said, yes, I was concerned about curriculum on day one. And I believe this would prove my concern because now we have a principal who does have the time to evaluate classrooms and work with the teachers and work with our county supervisors on courses of study. And our assistant principal is devoting time to the daily routines of the school. And so I think what I'm saying here is that to me was a big change and one I think that was in the right direction.
In other words, you're saying that the principal should have the responsibility for taking care of the teachers and the curriculum,
And the assistant principal very simply is going to take care of the discipline and any other problems that come up.
Activities, yes. Lunch programs, buses, and those kinds of things, yes. And then another thing that we did too, John, that I think is significant and had a tremendous effect on the district, and if it will be continued, I think will be a good thing for the district. And I felt after arriving here a very short time that we were lacking in communications. And when I say that, I'm talking now about the high school, the elementary school, the transportation department, the buildings and grounds, the cafeteria. So what we did was to organize what I called our Superintendent's Advisory Council. And on that council, we have the two principals. We have the director of reading, the director of the media center, the director of guidance, the director of health services, the supervisor of buildings and grounds, the supervisor of transportation, the supervisor of the lunchroom program. And then we had the treasurer, a county supervisor, my secretary, and then a representative from the UEA and a representative from OPSI. And we sat down and we talked in terms of what is it that we want to do. Well, first of all, we said that we wanted to be able to share our programs in our departments or in our schools with each other so that we would know what's going on and if there are problems, how it's affecting the other departments or the other schools, so that we could be able to help or at least be made aware of and not criticize that department or that school for problems that maybe nothing can be done about. Also, we talked about if there is something that we wanted to change or something that we felt would make the district a better district, that we ought to discuss it in that group first. And this is what we've been doing. In fact, every board agenda, before we go to the Board of Education, we discuss the items in this advisory council. And I can't tell you how many items have been scratched from that agenda because somebody on that committee said something that would raise a question in my mind to make me feel that we shouldn't present that information to the board at that particular time. So we have felt from the beginning that curriculum was important, and I think we made some changes there. And I think that we're talking about communications, and I think it starts really with this committee. Then you know and I know that we have some newsletters that we get out, and one of them happens to be the news and views that we send to all of the mailboxes, which really touch all of the residents of our school district every other month.
Was that introduced by you when you came, or was it already done?
No, it was already done, but it was a one-page or maybe a half-page newsletter, and we've developed it into a 4, 5, 6, 7-page newsletter. I don't know whether people are reading it or not, but at least we're sharing information with them. So that. And then we started the Citizens Advisory Council, too, and this is involving parents. We have about 20 parents who are involved in that, and we have had a number of issues and concerns that have been discussed with the parents, and we also have staff members on that committee. And what we are doing there again is trying to relate to the parents and having teachers present some of the problems that we have in school and what we're trying to do to make United a good school district, and it's been a good experience again.
Since we're talking about, you know, these groups and advisory committees, has there been one maybe major problem that stuck out with, you know, parents or with the community that they look at United and say, well, this needs to be corrected first? Is there any one major thing, or has it just been, you know, the same, like you said, the same material, the same problems all the way through?
I think there's a thread running through the problems here at United, and if I'm reading this right, I can say it existed before I arrived here, and maybe it's still here, and I don't know how we're going to overcome. It's going to be one of the things we're going to have to make a recommendation or talk about when I leave, that somebody must take hold of this and work on this. And that is, there seems to be a barrier between the school personnel and the citizens, or the parents and the taxpayers. This may be, and again, I think that this is the same thing that we're experiencing in other school districts. But here at United, I know we have that problem. I don't think that the parents disagree with what we're trying to do with the children, with the program, with the school district in terms of education. But I don't believe they know what we're trying to do. And I believe we as school people are guilty of not telling the parents what we're trying to do. And I think it's time that we get to meet with the parents. And I know the Citizens Advisory Committee cannot solve all the problems because we don't have all of the parents in there. But I think what we're experiencing and what we have learned is that many parents have the same kind of a problem, that is, they don't know what's going on. And so my recommendation, John, and my suggestion is that somehow, some way, when we start out the school year, when we start the children in kindergarten, before we do any registering or before we do any kind of programming with those kindergarten children, we ought to have meetings and we ought to have newsletters and we ought to have handbooks to present to the parents of the children who are going to be registered in kindergarten. And all the way through, when we talk about reading, we ought to tell the parents what it is we're trying to do with reading. When we talk about math, when we talk about science, any one of the curricular areas, we ought to be telling the parents what it is we're trying to do. And somehow, some way, I think we ought to be telling the parents what responsibilities they should have with these children, because we don't have them all the time. And I think there are some parents who feel that we're going to solve all the problems of all of the children. And that's a mistake.
Mr. Neal, about the facilities that United before you came, did you add any? I know that there was a levy up in 1980, right, that was voted down, okay, by our taxpayers. That very simply was to put on a new addition at United that, again, we need. Is there anything else that you tried to get it United, or that you did get it United, facility-wise?
Well, John, if we go back again to day one, and I said to the board that what I was going to do was to look at the total district as rapidly as I could and make some recommendations. And I guess I wasn't here 6 months when I realized that we were overcrowded. We have a facilities problem. I should put lack of facilities problem here at United. We had it 3 years ago and we have it today. And I'm sorry that we didn't do something about it in the 3 years that I was here. But I can say this, that we need additional classrooms. And when we talked about our needs, we talked about 9 additional classrooms. We talked about increasing the size of the high school media center. We talked about building a principal's office or an administrative wing so that there would be space in there for the counselors, the assistant principal, general office area, a conference room, a place where parents who come into the school would have a place, a waiting room, a place for them to sit down in comfort and wait for the principal, the assistant principal, the counselors. And you know the problem we have here. They have to wait out in the hall because there's not an office big enough where they can come in and sit down. We need additional space for the media center in the elementary school. We also need facilities for storage for our band. If you're going to conduct a band program such as we have here at United, and it's a good one, and we have 80-some students who are involved in our varsity band. There's a lot of equipment, a lot of uniforms, a lot of supplies that you have to house, and we do not have facilities to properly store these things. Then along with that, we certainly need a gymnasium large enough to accommodate all of the programs that we're trying to do for the senior high school, the junior high school, the elementary school. We need to consider boys and girls in the programming. We need to consider the community, and our present facilities will not accommodate any of the groups that I'm mentioning. Drama, plays, speeches, community, having community meetings where they invite guest speakers, or if our local churches want to have some kind of a meeting, we do not have a decent facility in our community. So what we're proposing, or what we proposed, and somehow, some way, it didn't get, we didn't sell it, was to build a gymnasium large enough in the back of this present building so that we could have three playing areas in that gym. And with the present high school gymnasium, we could have two playing areas in there. That's five playing areas. Convert the Brottingham Center into a little theater so that whenever you want to put on plays or any kind of productions or any kind of community meetings, anything where you're going to need an auditorium, you would have that facility, and you are not going to use it for basketball practice or set it up for some kind of a program and then say, I'm sorry, you can't have your play or you can't do this activity because we have something else scheduled. It would strictly be for drama and speech activities. And then if you had five playing areas, these boys and girls could come here after school, and especially I'm talking about basketball season, they could all practice about the same time and go home at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. But presently, some of them are staying here until 10 o'clock because by the time they take their turn, and then, in fact, the junior high girls can't even play during the season. They have to wait till the basketball season is over in order to use the facility. So, John, I think we have a tremendous need here, a serious need for facilities for the total school program. I'm talking now classroom. I'm talking reading, media center, library. We're talking about the band. We're talking about physical education. We're talking about basketball, and also this gymnasium that we're talking about. We envision that under the gymnasium there would be a locker room, huge locker room, part of it devoted to girls, part of it to physical education, and part of it to athletics, especially football and track. So that if we're going to have an effective and a football program that's going to be getting a number of students involved and getting the community involved, which we have in the past, we built a good football program. You came here last year, John, and you helped us to continue to build that program, but we don't have facilities to accommodate the players in a practice session, fitness training, between halves, dressing room facilities. We just don't have those. And I think to continue the caliber of the football program that we have, that we need to have locker facilities. And I think that this facility that we're talking about would take care of that particular need.
I can agree with you wholeheartedly, being here a year and seeing what some of the athletes had to go through going home and coming back and going home. It is pretty difficult. You know, my last question, would there be any advice that you would give to a beginning teacher, to a beginning principal, or to a beginning superintendent?
I'd say, John, yes, I really do. I've thought of this many times. I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm not saying that yours truly is a perfect individual. First of all, I make mistakes. I've done some dumb things. I've made some decisions I was sorry for. But I think anybody going into education, whether it's teacher, principal, or superintendent, first of all, ought to be honest with themselves and honest with anybody that they deal with, and deal with all the problems on top of the table, nothing under the table. Do not get involved in any kind of political shenanigans or personal shenanigans with anybody to compromise or to do something because if I do this, you'll do this. To me, everything must be professional. It must be on top of the table, and you must deal with it as a problem or as an issue that is going to make for better for the school district, for the school, for the staff, because it's the boy and girl that's going to benefit from whatever you do in the classroom or in the program of our co-curricular. So I'm saying that anybody going into teaching or principalship or superintendency must be honest with themselves, must deal with all issues above the table, and must be professional in all of the dealings, all of the time. Far as doing dumb things, far as doing things that, well, making poor decisions or using poor judgment, you'll always have that. But I think if the person is honest and they're dealing above the table and they're dealing professionally, you can always overcome those. And you can look at the next time it comes around, you're not going to make that same mistake or you're not going to do that dumb thing again.
Well, Mr. Muir, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And if there, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I guess there is, yes, John, but I'm not going to. I've enjoyed my 29 years in education. I feel that I have really dedicated my life to education. I know some people get turned off when they talk about dedication, but I'm going to tell you, I think I've worked 50 years in 29 or 30 years that I've been in education, because I've been dedicated to education. I've enjoyed it. I've met a lot of good people in the system. I've met some people that were not so good, and I met some lousy ones. But I think the majority of the people that I met, and I'm talking now in terms of students, staff, parents, professional people, people in the community, in all walks of life, my experiences have been good. I've just thoroughly enjoyed it, and in a way, I guess I'm sorry to be getting out of education, but on the other hand, I feel that I've put in my 29 years, and I've got another goal, John. I've got something else that I'm looking at. I'm shooting for something else down the road, and I'm not at liberty to say at this particular time what I'm doing, but you know, John, you know me in the past year, that I've got to have something lined up or else I wouldn't be moving out of education just to be moving out.
You all, again, I want to thank you for taking your time, and the year that I spent with you, you have been just a great influence on me, and I'm sorry to see you leave.
Okay, well, John, you've been a real influence here in our school district, I'm going to tell you, in the high school, not only with the students, but with the staff and with the parents, and we really appreciate your coming to United. And I know you had to make a decision, just as many of us had to make a decision to come here, and we really appreciate you coming to United.